Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to consider with you a portion of the reading from Exodus, the 14th chapter, as we consider our call also from bondage to sin to the glorious freedom of Jesus Christ. We read in Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14, the children of Israel had been set free from Egypt, and they are encamped on the shores of the Red Sea and are panicking as Pharaoh's armies draw near. And when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." This is God's word. Please be seated. Now think back in Egypt's history a little farther than the readings we have today. And imagine the Lord's disappointment in the nation of Egypt as it oppressed the children of Israel, the Hebrews. We might imagine God saying something like this to the Egyptians. "O Egypt, 7 years of famine were barreling toward you. 7 hellish years in which your men would be reduced to bags of bones and your weeping infants would nurse at dry breasts. But I pitied you. Even though you neither acknowledge me or worship me, I sent you a Savior, Joseph the Hebrew. And through him I warned you of this coming famine, and I planned for your deliverance. And when that famine did come, your storehouses were chock full and spilling over with grain, a largesse of food that lasted you not 3 or 4 or 5 years, but all 7 years of the famine. Neighboring nations came to you, and they emptied their coffers into your pockets so they could feed their starving people. I exalted you, O Egypt. I lifted you up, and I made you the breadbasket of the world. But now, O forgetful Egypt, how have you shown me your gratitude? By enslaving the very people who were your freedom from the famine. My people, the descendants of Joseph, my holy nation. As a thank offering to me, you have turned against them and shackled them in chains. For their sake, I had pity on you, Egypt, and your infants were fed. But now you rip the infant sons from their mother's arms and you throw them to the Nile like alligator meat. And this is how you thank the God who saved you? By filling my nostrils with the stench of your evil? O forgetful nation! O thankless Egypt! Well, it's quite easy for us here in America, over 3 millennia later, to stand here and to wag an accusatory finger at those bad, bad Egyptians. And all the while we raise a toast to our own piety. Why, if I had been an Egyptian, I would have been thankful for what God did. I never would have oppressed the Hebrews. And as a matter of fact, I know that if I had been there, I would have done everything I could to save those little Hebrew boys from cruel Pharaoh. But really, let's not kid ourselves. Nobody believes such bragging, least of all God. It is that old, worn-out, if-I-were-you kind of logic. The kind of logic by which we dupe ourselves into thinking that we are better than someone else by saying, "Well, if I were you, I would have done it this way." It's self-deceit, designed to help us evade the truth about ourselves. And the truth is this. that the blood coursing through our veins is also Egyptian red. We have met the Egyptians, and they are us. And there's not a smidgen of difference between us. Oh, no, of course not. We would never outright deny God's role in providing us all of the things of life, a largesse of blessings, clothing and shoes and meat and drink and house and home and wife and children and land and animals and all my goods. And yet, if we do survive a famine, in whatever form it comes, it's because of our work ethic. And because we planned so well. To us be the glory. Which is really what we are saying when we forget to thank the one to whom thanks is really due. And it's easy for us to say that we would have rescued those little Hebrew boys when Pharaoh ordered them to be killed upon birth. And yet here we are, the citizens of a land that has butchered untold millions of children before they could even be born. And what have you seriously done to try to stop that bloodshed? You see, we have no excuse. The Egyptian blood runs through our veins too. As a people, as a nation, we have gone the way of Egypt. Ungrateful, thankless Egypt. And yet it wasn't just the Egyptians that were the problem. Many of God's own children had a problem too. Not that they would outright admit it, of course, but they really did have an affection for that old way of life, that old Egypt out of which God called them. That's why when they were set free, they almost immediately started bellyaching to Moses about having been brought out of Egypt. And they were bickering about the manna, and they were griping about the terrain, and they were criticizing Moses. We were better off in Egypt. What, did you bring us out here in the wilderness to die because there were no graves for us in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us alone so that we could serve the Egyptians instead of die out here? And their incessant griping and ingratitude, these people, these children of God, betrayed an affection for that old Egyptian way of life. Just as we also sometimes look fondly upon that old way of life and even slip back into it sometimes, back into the yoke of slavery and bondage. I have said it each Sunday during Lent, and I say it again. It is the message of Lent. Repent. Yes, the truth cuts deep, and it is painful for us to confess that we are no better than those Egyptians, and that we are like the Israelites in their love of that former way of life. It's hard to admit that about ourselves, but it's only when we face the hard truth about ourselves that we also come to know God for who He really is, as our only hope and our only Savior. You see, what God accomplished for Israel, He has also accomplished for you. Down to Egypt, God sent Moses, His chosen man. But for you, God did not send down just a man. No, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. And so down into this world came the Lord God Himself. And not just to do things right, but to do things flawlessly. On behalf of all of us who could do nothing right in God's sight, and whose righteousness looks to Him like a filthy rag. With Moses, it took 10 plagues before Pharaoh finally buckled under and set God's people free. But Jesus came not to condemn the world or to hammer the world with the law, but that the world through Him might be saved. And if there are any plagues in the story of our salvation through Christ, it is the plagues that He Himself bore in His own flesh, in His body. The full fury of God's anger because of what I have done wrong. The crushing burden of my guilt. The absolute utter darkness of the abandonment of God that I deserve. And the agony of every injury and sickness and illness and disease that I bear in my body. He took all of that into His own flesh, and then He buckled under and yielded Himself to death. He, the precious Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the sins of Egypt, the sins of America, your own sins and mine. Stand still. All you have to do is be silent and watch the salvation of our God as it unfolds before your eyes, as He gives His life and sheds His blood. And that blood now marks not doorposts and lintels as it did in Egypt, but it marks you, His children. His blood has been sprinkled upon you, for you were baptized into His death. And His blood is in you, for you drink it in His holy supper. And the destroying angel, seeing the blood of Christ on you and in you, puts away his sword. The Lamb died in your place. The blood has already been shed, and your life is spared. And you are now free to go to the promised land. The book of Hebrews says that the Israelites were all under the cloud. That is, that cloud that led them by day. And that passing through the waters of the Red Sea, they were all baptized into Moses. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But you, the new Israel of God, how much greater are the gifts and the promises that the Father has lavished on you, as we said with the children today. How much greater are the gifts He has lavished on you? For you are under all of you under the same Spirit, and you have all passed through the water of the font, and you are baptized not into a man, but into Christ. And you all eat the same spiritual food and drink the same spiritual drink as you come here to receive the body and blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And so God called Israel out of Egypt. He called His Son out of Egypt. And now He calls you out of Egypt, out of the kingdom of Satan, and into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. And unlike Egypt, let us never forget the saving grace of God or turn our backs on Him by ungrateful living. And unlike Israel, let us not hold on to our love of that old Egyptian way of life when we were slaves to sin. You are God's special treasure among all the peoples of the earth, His chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood set apart by Him to declare the praises of Him who called you out of Egypt, out of that darkness and out of that bondage, into the marvelous light of His glorious kingdom of grace and love and forgiveness. The dark day of our exile in sin has come to an end. The day of salvation has dawned, a day that will never end. So thank the Lord and sing His praise and tell everyone what He has done. In the name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.